Better than bottled water from every faucet, every day, with no salt, no timers, no electricity. They're America's number one water softener alternative, and an entire team of Pelican water specialists are standing by for you right now. But you better call, because the 20% savings on the Smart Combo ends this month. Here's the number, 866-852-5510. I'll give it to you again, this time a little slower, 866-852-5510, PelicanOKC.com.
Are you tired of dealing with reading glasses and bifocals? Then schedule your free eye exam at ClearSight to see if you're a candidate for lens replacement. ClearSight's exciting new treatment for reading vision. Call 733-2020 or visit clearsight.com today.
Uniscori here. I'm at 9 o'clock on KTOK. Check out Well Preserved right here on News Radio 1000 KTOK, 9 o'clock sharp.
The following program does not necessarily reflect the opinions and viewpoints of the staff and management of this station.
You want to know by now. Who needs a house out in Hackensack? Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind. Good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company, license number 47388. And we are here to talk about the real estate transaction this morning. And I have my friend and colleague in the business, Ken McBride, from Chicago Title. Not only from Chicago Title, but he happens to be the president of Chicago Title, Oklahoma. So good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Becky.
I want to not waste any time. I want to get right into this. The roles in the transaction. When you sell or purchase real estate, there's a lot of people involved.
Yes, there are. And one of the things that that we find that there are either misconceptions or there are people that don't fully understand all of the roles that, have to work together in a real estate transaction. You've got the realtor. Frequently, you'll have a realtor that's working with a buyer and a realtor who's working with a seller. You'll frequently have a lender involved in the transaction. And then the title company will serve sometimes as a as kind of a clearinghouse to receive information from each of those parties and then to put the transaction together and see that everything is properly executed and that the funds are received and dispersed in accordance with the instructions of the parties.
I'm curious as to how many times you receive more than one contract on a property. Does that ever happen?
It does happen from time to time, and that's one of the complications that sometimes we'll run into, is that there'll be more than one contract on a property, or it's complicated when a contract is delivered to us, and then for whatever reason, that contract is not ready to close at the date that the contract, where the parties have agreed, on the day the parties have agreed to close.
And in that event, you really can't close it unless they extend the contract, right?
That's very true. We are bound by the instructions that others give to us, and sometimes people will ask us questions. You know, how much should I pay for this, or what should I do? How should this? And that's not our role. Our role isn't to determine. We don't determine your legal description. We don't determine how much you should pay for your property or who should pay for what. Rather, we receive the instructions in the form of the contract. And for the lender sends us specific lender instructions. And our responsibility is to see that we follow those lender instructions and that the closing documents we prepare accurately reflect the agreement of the parties.
And I will tell you that how many times have you heard, you're not an actual closer, you're president of the company, so you may not hear this so much, but, well, that's not what the seller intended. Well, that's not what the buyer meant.
This is one of those circumstances where the parties, I would certainly encourage everyone, this seems like something that shouldn't need to be said, but no one should sign a real estate contract without understanding what those terms are. And it apparently, in a lot of real estate sales circumstances, there are a lot of things discussed, a lot of different alternatives, a lot of different perhaps a give and take on this item or that item. And sometimes people forget what they finally ended up signing. And for whatever reason, we do have circumstances where people will come even to the closing table and will say, this isn't what we agreed to. And then at that time, normally there's a quick review of the contract that they've signed. And in most circumstances, they find that this is, in fact, what they had signed. They had earlier discussions and somehow had confused those earlier discussions with the terms of the final contract.
That happens a lot. I would like to put that on record. That happens a lot with other realtors as well. I mean, another realtor will say, but you said this. However, as I would point out, but the seller didn't agree to that. The seller agreed to this. And that's what we put in the written document that was presented to you as an offer or a counteroffer. And then the other party signed it, which made it a contract. So previous discussions are treacherous.
Yes, they are. And we find that in kind of two general circumstances. One is the circumstance that we just discussed, where people have talked about numerous scenarios, numerous amounts, numerous items of give and take and so forth, and have settled on one, but they're confused. And they later recollect some item that was in the earlier discussions and don't remember how it was resolved in the contract. Then there are, just to toss it out there, there are some people who believe that at the time of signing of the contract is when negotiations really begin.
No kidding. Back in the day, a long, long time ago, it was more common to believe that than it is now. In my experience, people would get to the closing table and think that was the time to negotiate or state their case as to what they intended to mean. So I got to where before we went to closing, actually, before we signed the final contract, I'll say, you know, this is the end of our negotiation on the terms that are within this contract. We will also negotiate again on the inspection results and repairs that are going to be negotiated. But other than that, the terms of the contract are set in stone. They might as well have been etched in stone. They have your signature. The closing is simply a formality where signatures are finalized on a deed and the money exchanges hands and the keys are given over. But it's not a time to negotiate anything.
That I certainly would agree with you, but we certainly have people who see the transaction differently and who decide that they're going to bring up or rehash issues that everyone believes have already been resolved in the contract. And nevertheless, that's part of the process that sometimes occurs with different people.
You know, Ken, I was in a closing company located close to the office where I typically close with you guys. It was a different company. I was there one night on a Friday until 12:30 on Saturday morning trying to close a transaction. And at then they started negotiating again, the buyer and the seller. And I said, you know something? If you guys want to finish this, come back Monday. I'm going home. And I should have gone home 5 hours before then. And the closer tolerated that instead of closing it per contract. I was pretty put out by that. That's why I really insist if it's possible to close at Chicago Title. And that's only because your shop has the more professional, the most professional of all, the closers. They know what they're doing. They close according to contract. And some of the other title companies and abstract companies, most are pretty good, I'll have to say. Most are pretty good. But, boy, a closer should be able to handle that situation.
Well, one of the challenges of a closer is to, two challenges of a closer. First is to remind everyone that we're there to actually close the transaction. That's what we're here for. We're here to see that the transaction gets closed, that the property gets bought or sold, whatever the parties are intending, and that the money gets paid and dispersed in accordance with written instructions from those parties. But the second thing is to try and keep civility and keep focus on what we're there for. And sometimes that requires someone who can take control of a closing table and remind people that that's what we're there for. Sometimes people are, for whatever reason, slow to move forward on the transaction that they've agreed to do.
Well, we've got some really interesting stories for you when we come back. Closing table stories from Ken McBride. When we return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins and Ken McBride. I am the president, but I'm the broker of Movers Real Estate Company here in Central Oklahoma, and Ken McBride is the president of Chicago Title Oklahoma. And we're talking about the roles in the transaction, the roles in the real estate transaction. So there's the realtor.
Yes.
There's the closing company or yes. The closer.
Yes.
But the two most important roles in the transaction, who are those, Ken?
Well, the lender is frequently one of the most important roles in the transaction. Most real estate transactions involve some type of financing of the property. And that's kind of the way our system has been set up, and it has worked. One reason our system of real estate has worked so well is the availability of money to borrow. If people had to pay cash for every piece of real estate, there are a lot of people who wouldn't own their home.
Right, for sure. But primary amongst all the roles in the transaction would be the parties to the transaction.
Yes, absolutely.
And there are two parties to the transaction.
As a general rule, you have a buyer and a seller.
There you go.
And the buyer and the seller are, if they're wise, they have the assistance of a professional realtor who will guide them through the process, because the process of buying or selling a home is a lot more than just putting a sign in the yard. The realtor is advising the buyer and the seller on issues and items of value, items what the market looks like. They're advising them regarding the general terms of a contract. And although there is a contract form, most people don't realize it, but many of those provisions are negotiable in a circumstance where one party may do something that is not the ordinary course of a real estate transaction. They may pay for, one party may pay for something that normally the other party might pay for it. And so having the advice of a skilled professional realtor is vital at that point in the transaction. You need to be working with someone who this is not, they don't just sell a house or be involved in a house sale once every 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, and, you know, most realtors do several transactions each year. So you get a lot of experience on that, and some of them are very unique experiences. So are you ready to take a phone call?
Sure.
If you guys have a phone call, you can always do call us here at 405-840-1000. That's our listener line. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Becky. Ivan's, good morning.
Good morning.
Got a couple of real estate items for you.
Okay.
The real estate gal. I live over here in the hood, as you know already, and drug deal gone bad about a block away. Needless to say, house went up for sale immediately, right? If you get the message, you know, one of them gruesome drug deals.
Right.
Anyway, so the sellers want $5,000 for this thing, which is fine with me. And I tell them, well, we'll settle at the closing company. Well, they didn't want to hear that, you know. I said, well, let's make it simple, people. I'll pay all the closing costs and all that stuff. And they said, okay, as long as we get our $5,000, right? Okay. Anyways, you know, closing costs average about a couple grand at least. And that's with a simple transaction, what this was. But anyway, we got through it, and I got my house. And now we're off on the remodel project. But here's one more for you. Just shows you that some people are limited in their vision, you know. They think $5,000 is $5,000, and we want our $5,000, and we don't care about anything else. So anyway. Becky, I've got a move-on house, and I moved about 15 years ago. And I don't know if you've ever moved one, or, I'm sorry, ever sold one before, but I'd like to kind of get rid of it in 2020. It's been good storage for all these decades. And I don't know if you've ever sold one before, but it's never been hooked up, i.e. the plumbing and the water and all that stuff, but it is available. Going to just ask you if you're curious on looking at it or listing it or looking at it, you know, or kind of walking through it or something.
It kind of there would be a lot more dependent upon that, Mark. There's a lot of things that, you know, someone called us yesterday about selling a double wide on an acreage way out from where we're located.
Okay.
And what we do is we look at it, first of all, what's the seller's ability to sell it? Like the one we're going out on today, it has, at first glance, they owe as much on it as the retail price would be to sell it. So do the sellers have the ability to pay the commission and the closing cost?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot more into it than only the property. We can mm-hmm. sell a moved on house that's not hooked up. Indeed,
okay.
We can. And
okay.
I've done that before. Usually don't get very much money for it.
That's fine.
But it kind of depends on where it is, location, location, okay. location in the real estate mm-hmm. business. Give your number to Mr. Gannon and I'll give you a call and we can talk specifically about it.
Sure, no problem.
Well, Happy New Year, Mark. Thanks for your call. Okay. But you can sell that, right?
Every piece of real estate and associated types of things, all of these can be closed. And I think one of the things that he brings up is how different each piece of real estate is, how different the circumstances are for a different types of dwellings, property that's commercial, residential, property that's residential with perhaps a future commercial use because of its location. Each piece of property is unique, and a lot of people think that what they know about real estate is automatically going to transfer over to each piece of real estate when sometimes you have to learn about each piece individually.
Well, when you move something onto a property, it sounded to me like this gentleman had an actual stick-built house, a structure that move from one place to another. And that happens. Mobile home, there's a lot to know about a mobile home. Hard to get financing on mobile homes. You have to have the VIN number, basically, on both sides of that mobile home, and they have to match, except one's an A and one's a B. You have to know whether or not it's the wheels have been taken off. Does it still have the girders under it? I mean, there's is it still tagged as a vehicle, or has it been the tag been relinquished to the county and made a part of the land and taxed that way? Luckily, that was easy to obtain that information due to our good county records. But what would you say about something like that?
Mobile home transactions are particularly complex, partly because of our laws and the requirement that perhaps the most difficult requirement is that we pay the current year's taxes. Each year we have ad valorem taxes that are due, and we have to pay those ad valorem taxes. But if it's before November, those tax amounts are not ascertainable, and those taxes are not payable. And so if you're handling a mobile home transaction in June, you're going to have a considerable amount of difficulty with the tax issue. And most taxing authorities will work with us on that. But still, it's complex.
It can be very complex. We're going to talk about our word of the day, which involves an awful lot, when we return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, and you contact me anytime you want to. Just call 405-722-3232. That's 722-3232. I would like to say I associate myself with great vendors surrounding the real estate transaction, and it does take more than just a buyer and just a seller to complete a transaction. We are not in the 1800s when you could do it that way and people had a lot of cash and there weren't lenders involved and home inspections and such. But nowadays we've got a lot of people involved in the real estate transaction. That's what we're talking about today. So,
Mama, come on, baby, tell me what's the word, a word of. Everybody say, when you hear the call, you got to get it underway.
It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to give you the information you need to make a good decision on your roof. Do you need new underlayment? Do you need new decking in parts of the roof? Is your ventilation right? Robbins Roofing is your trusted source. 728-3700. That's 728-3700. Our word of the day today is entity. Entity. Now, that's in the real estate market, that is pretty important word, a thing with distinction and independent existence, entity.
You know, when people think about an entity in connection with real estate, frequently the entity that comes up is a trust, because a lot of people want, particularly older people, want to put their property into a trust to avoid the necessity of a probate or a probate sale of the property, and that can work in certain circumstances very well, but a lot of people don't want to go to the trouble of getting advice on the creation of that trust and end up causing themselves some problems down the road. We work with entities, limited liability companies, corporations, trusts. All of these are entities that are created frequently just to hold title to real estate for a variety of reasons, either for liability reasons, for probate reasons, for some type of estate planning reasons. But, it's so important that you get some professional advice from an attorney who knows something about this part of the law, who deals with real estate transactions, and get some advice, because it can save you or your family a lot of trouble later on.
Well, you've probably run into this, someone who takes title to a property in an LLC. We run into this a lot with investors. They will name their LLC 123 Easy Street or whatever the address of the property is. 123 Easy Street LLC. And we look it up on the Secretary of State when we have a buyer that is an entity to be sure that it is an LLC, an entity in good standing. Well, it doesn't even exist. So are we wrong to, if we were to agree to let that be a buyer, is it our job to, as realtors, to verify that the entity exists?
Well, at some point, there has to be a determination that the entity exists, or the contract will not be enforceable, and certainly an entity that doesn't exist can't take title to property. So I know frequently people will sign a contract before they've filed their papers on their entity and perhaps do it the next day or something like that. The better practice is to form your entity, then to enter into the contract to either buy or sell the property, to either buy the property or to move forward. We check the entities as well. And you would perhaps be surprised to hear that there are many times where people, when we ask to look at the paperwork for the entity that's going to be taking title, they do not have that paperwork because they have not set up the entity that they intend to be buying the property.
And now, a lot of folks just go down to the Secretary of State's office and form. There's a fill-in-the-blank form there where you just will fill out that, say, an LLC exists. And then they will sign a deed over to their LLC. But when it comes to sell the property, I mean, do you have to have, like, articles of organization? What do you have to have from an LLC?
We do have to have some organizing documents, and yes. People need to understand that one of the important issues is, even if it's a simple LLC, comparatively simple, there needs to be specific authorization for someone to act on behalf of the LLC. If there's not a named person who is the manager of the LLC, then how do we know who has the authority to deed on behalf of the LLC?
Oh, same way with a trust, right?
Same way with a trust. And in a trust, not only are there issues of who is the trustee, or if there's a co-trustee, do both co-trustees need to sign, or does only one trustee need to sign? And if one is unavailable, or if the trustee is unavailable, is there a provision for a successor trustee? We see certain circumstances where the trustee is no longer able to perform as the trustee, and a successor trustee needs to sign. So there needs to be many times these documents prepared with good legal advice will anticipate the types of things that could happen in life, and make it so that you can easily see from the documents what the intent of the parties, what their intent is with regard to specific circumstances.
Well, so an entity, our word of the day, can be an LLC. It can be a trust. What other type entity come to mind?
A corporation, of course. Corporations have been around a long time, and we're one of the very first artificial legal entities that were created, and are still, you know, there are many corporations, and corporations still buy and sell property, and still the documents of a corporation should indicate, it should be determinable who the officers are of that corporation who are authorized to sign and to sell property on behalf of the corporation.
So, and I mean, there's more, but those are the major ones, like a limited partnership.
Sure, yes, limited partnerships, general partnerships. There are all all kinds of other types of entities that can be created. Most of the real estate transactions that we get into involve either an LLC, a limited liability company, or a trust. And those are the most frequent, but other entities can be created and frequently are.
Okay, we promised a story, an interesting story, and you told me the story about a guy that seemed to think his infant son should own his property.
You know, there was a circumstance where an individual, something they had seen or read led them to believe that if their rental property was in the name of their infant son, that he would achieve some type of tax benefit from the rent on the rental property, and the way our law is structured, the infant son was able to take title, but in the absence of being an age of majority, the infant son could not sign a mortgage or a deed, and so when it came time to sell that property, the gentleman got to pay for a guardianship, and I think it absorbed all of his tax savings too.
I would think probably more than the tax savings on that. So what is the rule on owning property as a minor in Oklahoma?
Well, the general rule is that a minor can take title to property, but unless they've either reached the age of majority or had the rights of majority conferred upon them. And the court can come in and with good reason, take an individual and say, we are legally conferring the rights of majority on you. That's a big thing to do because that means that they are an adult for all purposes. That means that they are an adult for legal liability, for criminal purposes, for all purposes generally. And so that's very rarely done. But then, of course, you can go to court, have a guardianship, have a legal guardian appointed, and then go through a guardianship sale to sell property.
Wow. That there's a lot to, something that comes to mind, which we don't have time to talk about, but a question to ponder. Wonder what happens when a mortgage company forecloses on a minor. Wow. There's a lot to think about in real estate, isn't there?
That's very true. And frequently, when there's a lawsuit involving a minor, there is a provision that's for appointment of a guardian ad litem. And that just basically means a guardian for the purposes of the suit. But even so, there needs to be a guardian appointed in the suit. You can't just sue a minor without having a guardian ad litem.
Well, we've got more to talk about, so stay tuned for our Smoking Hot Deals and more with Ken McBride, Chicago Title, Oklahoma, when we return on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins that you are listening to, and I want to ask you, did you have a good Christmas?
Had a great Christmas.
Got
to spend most of the day with the grandkids.
We did too. What a good day. Actually, the first half of the day we spent with nobody. Jim and I were just there, which was very relaxing. And then the grandkids and kids hit, and our house is, we have a very prolific family. lots and lots of kids and grandkids, and we had such fun, and everyone was in a good mood, and decided to have chili instead of turkey, so that was good. So anyway, very relaxing time. So Merry Christmas to you guys out there, too. Call and tell me, what did you get for Christmas that you thought was just spectacular? You can call us on our listener line at 840-1000. Are you already thinking about what you want for Christmas next year, Ken?
Not really.
No. Okay, no, me either. You have New Year's plans?
Just going to stay home.
Do you know, we're going to send out an email this next week that just says, are you still planning to sell your house in 2020? Because a lot of people wait till after the first of the year. They don't want to be bothered by showings on Christmas and that kind of thing. So we're ramped up. We always have a very busy January in our office because we're listing properties. Buyers that need to buy are out there buying in January before everything gets picked over. So our new year will involve helping a lot of families with their real estate transactions. You as well.
Our experience has been that many of the most sophisticated buyers come in January and February and look at properties and get in there before many of the seasonal buyers get out in the market.
Right. Our last 2 years, January has been last year it was our second highest sales month was January. Isn't that odd?
Well, that's unusual from a seasonal standpoint. Generally, the spring is when a lot of people buy and sell. But like I said, a lot of people have begun to see that that getting in January is a really good time, and you're not fighting some of the crowds that would be interested in real estate later in the year.
And our weather is unpredictable, so you could have, like we did this week, a 70-degree day at the end of December. And so the moving would be a pretty good breeze if that were the case. But nobody wants to move with ice on the ground and, you know, 17 degrees and 80-mile-an-hour winds. But and that's a lot of reason why people move in the spring and summer is because they want that favorable weather and school. They want to move, you know, at the end of a semester or the end of a school year. But our family dynamics are changing a lot. There's very little of our life that we actually have school-age children.
Well, that's very true. And a lot of people don't feel quite as bound by the school schedule as they perhaps did some years back.
Right. So the roles in the transaction. Do you have another story for us about a role in a transaction or entities in a transaction?
Well, we will have people who want us to give them their legal description of what they own, and we will not determine that. If for example, you've got property that someone is dividing off a portion of the property. And they want to sell the, you know, generally 5 acres of their 20-acre tract, then we're not the ones that determine what the legal description is of that 5 acres. They need to retain a surveyor, a professional surveyor who has errors and omissions insurance, someone who can stand behind their work and get them to give them a professional legal description of that property. So we encounter that on a frequent basis.
Do you know, Logan County is real different than Oklahoma County when it comes to legal descriptions and such and platted property. We just sold an acreage this week in Logan County, just barely in Logan County, but that's what mattered. They will have, it was the south 5 acres of tract 12 in this neighborhood that really is not platted, but yet it's tract 12 or lot 12 or something. There was no legal description, and Logan County's okay with that. They will let you file a deed like that. So it does differ from one county to another as to what the county will tolerate. But don't you have to have an actual legal description on the deed?
Yes. I mean, the counties, different counties look at things in different ways. But we strongly urge people who are dividing any kind of tract or have any kind of unplatted property to make certain that their legal description is that they have retained a surveyor and that the legal description is accurate. We had a transaction less than a month ago where these people thought that they knew where a pipeline easement was. And it turns out that once a surveyor had been retained to look at the property, the pipeline easement that was in place went right through the house.
That could have been our transaction. Our buyer backed out of that, by the way.
It could have been. But this happens from time to time, and it's very important that people know where easements are, where improvements are in relation to the improvements in relation to the house.
And an ALTA survey is a costly thing usually. I mean, it's a few $100s to a few $1,000s, depending on where it is and how many trees they have to cut down to form a straight line. But it's important to know your property boundaries and have the corner pins marked as to what you actually own.
We encourage everyone to have some kind of pin survey that actually locates the corners of your property and the lines between those corners so that you know exactly where your property is. We had a circumstance where someone thought a beautiful tree was on their property. It wasn't. It was on the neighbor's property, and the neighbor didn't think it was that beautiful.
Oh.
So they were very disappointed when the neighbor cut down
the beautiful tree they thought they bought. Oh, man. Well, you know, we need to come back and talk about surveys. Next time you're here, let's talk about surveys.
Let's talk about surveys.
Okay, thank you for tuning in. Tune in next week at 8 o'clock to hear more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000 KTOK.